Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the October 18th edition of Speedway Digest, Thursday Night Thunder, episode 57 of the series. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, Michael Mullally and myself will be talking NASCAR, a bit of drag racing, as well as whatever other motorsports news pops into the conversation. We have quite the show lined up for you this evening, beginning with a discussion of stock car racing with Joey Mucciacciaro. I hope I'm not butchering his name too badly. And afterwards, a little bit of NASCAR news featuring a discussion of the chase to the championship, as well as this weekend's action at Kansas Motor Speedway. Should be a good weekend of racing. This past weekend was interesting. They had all the... Joey Logano there won at Charlotte, and we'll be talking about that briefly a little bit later on in the program as well. It's always interesting to me to see the lack of people who show up at these races, especially the chase races and especially at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. That is supposedly the heart of NASCAR, the modern heart of NASCAR, if you will. And there's not as much support there as you would think. The economy has improved in that part of the country, although probably not as quickly as in other parts of the country. And that's a given. But there's still you would expect a lot more people to show up for that sort of race. And it didn't have very good support. I don't know if it would have run on Saturday night, if it would have been a better event. You never know. But the rain delay did probably have a little bit to do with that. But you never know how much. And it'll be interesting to see throughout the rest of the season what the turnout is. I'm hoping that the turnout is pretty good there at Homestead, because I just recently found out I'm going to be getting media access to cover the Ford Championship weekend for SpeedwayDigest.com. You can read a little bit about this past weekend there at Charlotte. I did an article this afternoon, a posting about Joey Logano, in fact, and his victory there. He won his foundation, the Joey Logano Foundation, won an award from Bosch Aftermarket, NA, which does a donation for everybody who has their little Bosch sticker on the car, all the victors. And I've done a little bit of a little release thing for all those people who are involved in NASCAR this season. They don't sponsor the entire field, of course, but they do have quite a set of people who have that contingency sponsor on the car. And they've done really well. They sponsor Kyle Busch, they sponsor Joey Logano, and they sponsor a few other drivers in the garage. So they've had a pretty good year, and they should be happy with the fact that they're doing well in chase. As I said, we're going to be talking more about the chase to the Sprint Cup later on in the program. As I stated, our first guest this evening is going to be Joey Mucciacciaro, a Wolcott, Connecticut native, who began his racing career at 5 years old when he started competing in the quarter midget series at Silver Sea Speedway in Meridian, Connecticut. He then moved up to Legends Cars, winning Rookie of the Year at his local track. In the Legends Cars, Joey finished 7th in the championship points and the Young Lions division of the Winter Heat Series at Charlotte Motor Speedway in 2012. He moved up to the Semi-Pro Legends division and finished 2nd in championship points in the Summer Shootout Series, also at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and was ranked in the top 10 nationally. In 2013, Joey made his NASCAR late model debut at the World Series of Asphalt event. In just his second start, he visited Victory Lane at New Smyrna Speedway and went on to secure 2 top fives and 5 top 10 finishes during the Speed Week events. Mucciacciaro joined the LFR Driver Development Group for the 2015 season, where he has competed in the Cars Tour and secured 1 top 5, 3 top 10, and 5 top 15 finishes. He's slated to join us in roughly 5 minutes' time. Recently, I was at the... I did drive by the New Smyrna Speedway there in New Smyrna Beach, Florida. It looked like they had quite the... they had a little bit of stuff going on this past weekend. They always have a lot of activity going on at the track there. And that's part of why I'm going to talk about a little bit this evening also, some of the changes that have been made for next season, and the fact that Florida is losing a couple of major events. Excuse me. One of those events, unfortunately, is the Pro Winter Warm-Up, which has been held at the Palm Beach International Raceway for the past several years. That is, for those of you who are not familiar, the race where the... It's sort of like a race, I suppose. It's held like a national event for the National Hot Rod Association, where they get ready for their opening races there in California. South Florida is a pretty good way to test for that sort of thing. They have we have pretty good weather here. The facility has a full, nearly mile-long concrete drag strip, and it makes it a great test bed for them. They have been testing here for a long time, at least, I believe, a decade now, for the National Hot Rod Association Pro Winter Warm-Up. It has only been the past couple years they have opened it up to the public. Unfortunately, for the race fans here in South Florida who loved going to the National Hot Rod Association Pro Winter Warm-Up there at Palm Beach International Raceway, next season they've decided to move it to Phoenix. I am not entirely aware of the reasoning behind moving the race to the Phoenix International Raceway, aside from the fact that it is one of the national tracks that the NHRA competes on every year. There could be a little bit of a back and forth push there between the International Hot Rod Association and the National Hot Rod Association, but that hasn't been an issue in the past couple of years. I know recently the IHRA and their parent company, the IRG Sports Entertainment, has undergone a recapitalization, is how they're calling it. They changed their front office staff. They currently have a woman who worked in the past for NASCAR, working with Juan Pablo Montoya as his personal PR woman, Shayna Keller. She's now one of the communications directors for the International Hot Rod Association and IRG Sports and Entertainment, as well as one of the former people we've had on this program. Mr. Scott Gardner is the president of the IHRA. He's also highly involved now in the IRG Sports and Entertainment division there at Palm Beach International Raceway, as well as the other racetracks that IRG currently owns. Now, they have a great thing going on there at the IHRA, but I think that the cooperation that they were able to do with the National Hot Rod Association for the Pro Winter Warm-Up is something that will be sorely missed here in South Florida. And it's unfortunate that they have rescheduled the event to there in Phoenix. It was a great event. It was an awesome time, awesome to go out there and see the cars, and I'll really miss it. Unfortunately, the only racing event for the National Hot Rod Association that's held in the state of Florida is held at Gainesville, which is an awesome track there in the north central part of the state. But it's several hours north of here, and that is kind of the issue, that the fact that it is several hours north, and people in Palm Beach, Broward, and Dade County would have to commit basically an overnight stay, at least one overnight stay, to visit the track in Gainesville. However, it should be a good thing there at the... at Phoenix next year, so it should be pretty cool, and we're looking forward to it. As I stated, we're currently standing by for Joey Macchiaro from LFR Driver Development, who's scheduled to call in momentarily. If we do not get a call from him in a couple moments, I do luckily have his number, and I will try giving him a call. While we're standing by, let's go ahead and listen to Full Throttle by Ron Pestana and the Pit Crew. Once again, that was Ron Pestana and the Pit Crew with their song Full Throttle. You can find that online by Googling Ron Pestana and the Pit Crew. We'd now like to welcome Joey to the program.
Hey, first guys, off, how's it going?
Not too bad. First off, can I have you pronounce your last name? Because I have a pretty good idea that we've been butchering it the past couple of weeks.
It's actually, no harm for that. A lot of people have trouble with it. It's actually pronounced Butcharo, but... I actually shortened my nickname to Mooch over the years just because it's been so hard for people to pronounce, and, that's a lot easier and a lot catchier, I thought. So, that's pretty much what I've been going by for the last few years now.
There you go. In one word, how would you describe your season?
You know, pretty good. I mean, we started off really strong in Mid-Smyrna with our all-hard Safety, and came very close to victory lane quite a few nights, and won the championship until we got wrecked that last night. But we started off really great there and really built a lot of momentum. You know, I've been working really great with everybody at LFR, and we fought for the guys, been working really good in the car all year. You know, we've had a lot of good consecutive finishes, and we've been up there. You know, I just think we need a little bit more luck to finish it off. And I think, rolling into Hickory, we got a lot of good momentum, and we're going to go test in, and we got a few more ideas that we're going to try to throw at the car. And I think, we'll really bring our strength back and, get out on the track a few more times this year and really chase that W. You know, we've showed the speed and we've been fast enough. I just think we need a little bit more luck to finish it off.
With icons in stock car racing such as Tony Urie Jr. and Tony Urie Sr. working at LFR, do you think they will help you to be able to reach your racing goal?
No doubt. They've been such a big inspiration since the beginning. I mean, Tony Urie Sr. Was my crew chief down in New Smyrna this year. And we had, such a great time. And, they're so smart and they got so much knowledge on these race cars. And, Tony is, really good at bringing at one part of the car. Jeff's really good at one part of the car, Jeff Bolts. Tony Urie Sr. is, really good at keeping everyone in line and, knows a lot about the car as well. And, the whole team just really, really works well together. It's a great combination. It's such a good group of guys. And, that's what makes LFR such a strong program right now is the people they have behind it. Rob Fuller, Jeff Bolts, Tony Urie Jr., Tony Urie Sr., Cody. All the guys in the shop, Kevin Kreider, that's the best in the business. When you think of super late model racing, modified racing, Ryan Stone, those are guys you think of, and then they got everyone right underneath the same group, and that just makes it just a strong group,
I talked about this briefly in the introduction, a little bit about the fact that it looked pretty sparse attendance there at Charlotte this past weekend. With shrinking attendance evident at many of the major racing events, where do you think racing will be in 10 years?
It's tough to say. Racing right now is very dependent on money, which is a shame, but, it's part of the time. A lot of the world has changed to that, but, hopefully it takes a change, and, NASCAR can find a way to make it, cheaper and more affordable for other and younger and smaller teams to get involved in the sport. And, I think that's really what's going to help bring this car count up. Just the cost of running these cars nowadays is way too much money. And there's a lot of money spent foolishly. And, there's definitely a lot of ways you can narrow it up and make it so that smaller teams and, maybe family-owned operations could get in the top four levels of racing, But, someone like me, it's pretty much just hunting for sponsorship. And that's pretty much, where your destiny lies. And, you just race your heart out and go as hard as you can and hope one day you open up the eyes of the right person and, they help bring you where you got to get. But, a lot of it's involved around money and, hopefully in the next few years that changes.
We've discussed sponsorship issues on this show numerous times. What would be your advice to somebody who's trying to get a good sponsor for racing?
It's pretty much just really put yourself out there, make yourself very marketable, put a good package together, surround yourself with the right people. Attention, people, results. It's a big combination of everything. And, and a good combination is where you got to get. When I have something in front of someone's eyes, it can really open up their eyes. And, if you could have that and you could bring that spark to someone, that's pretty much what's going to get you what you need at the end of the day. So, just keep working harder on every aspect of the game. Study as hard as you can, race as hard as you can, work out as hard as you can, just sharpen your reflexes and hopefully it all comes together at the end.
What's your favorite form of racing?
Definitely stock car racing. That and definitely open wheel racing as well. I've raced both my whole entire life and, open wheel racing is definitely a little bit more intense, I'd say, but stock car racing comes down to strategy and, really being able to manage your stuff over 150 laps can become very difficult. And, and whoever could manage your stuff the right way, call the right shots in the race, make the right decisions is what gets you there at the end. And, I think that's very difficult in racing nowadays, and it's hard to find in a lot of drivers. So, the guys that get it done at the end of the day, they open up the eyes of the right people, and that's what you got to do.
You just mentioned your open wheel career where you raced in the Corps of Midgets and other cars. I know that in IndyCar, they used to have, traditionally, they've pulled a lot from the Corps of Midgets, but now it seems like the guys are going directly from the Corps of Midgets into NASCAR and full-bodied stock cars. What changes would you advise for IndyCar for the future? Because I know they're having some management issues and other changes in the next couple of years. What changes do you think they'd have to make to encourage people such as yourself to enter the series?
It's been a shame because, you know, if you look back in 2008, 2009, 2010 even, you know, when you look at USAC and NEMA and all these, you know, midget series that used to race, you know, full-size midgets, that, you know, they were booming. They had 30, 40 cars in each division. And it was great racing. I mean, it was probably, if you sat in the stands, one of the best races to watch. And, you know, there's a lot of drivers that got taken out of those cars and brought in Indy cars and, you know, there's Silver Crown and all those divisions. And, you know, they were very, very popular back in the day. You know, now it seems like it's really died down to the point where USAC on asphalt races only a few times a year, and their car counts are under 20 cars. And same thing with NEMA. You know, they lost a few of their best venues, but they're still a really strong series. It's a great series to run. That's where I started. I started a NEMA light division. I raced my way up to the NEMA division, and it was just a blast. It was such a great deal. I've learned so much from those cars, you know, and I took so much more from it, and I wish that was more recognized. But, you know, that part of the series dying down, just the cost of money and, you know, the economy, I think, is what's really hurting IndyCar, and it is affecting, you know, drivers getting in the IndyCar just because the ones that came from open wheel racing aren't really there anymore, you know?
Yeah, that's not really a sustainable way for them to continue the series. Hopefully they're able to figure something out. I know that the economy has hurt both NASCAR and IndyCar. It seemed to hurt IndyCar quite a bit more.
Definitely.
But hopefully they figure something out because they have some great events. I went to the Grand Prix of St. Petersburg this year. I went a couple of years ago as well. And this year it was awesome. There's just so much racing going on, and they always start out the season really strong, and then it just suddenly seems to drop off.
No, definitely. You know, I think that a lot of it's just the cost of racing. You know, a lot of teams struggle with being able to put together full seasons. You know, of some unexpected wrecks and, you know, some people falling through on sponsorship. But a lot goes on over the course of the year that can make it very tough to finish out a season. You know, on a lower level, I've even been in that position where sponsorship hasn't been there the whole year. And, you know, you expected to run more races than you really could be able to. And, you know, it's just hard. It's really hard. You know, this sport takes a lot to get everything to go. And, you know, and for everything to line up the whole season and go great is very difficult. You know, you just got to really surround yourself with the best people and work and try as hard as you can. And at the end of the day, hopefully, you know, it's something enough to open up someone's eyes and it gets you where you got to get.
What's your ultimate racing goal?
You know, I would like to race in one of the top, you know, levels of NASCAR. That's definitely my goal, and it's been my goal since I was about 5 years old, you know. I mean, since I was five and my dad pretty much came home and said, hey buddy, you want to drive a race car, and I started, I it's been such a love for me. And you know, that's all I think about. And when I wake up in the morning, it's racing. You know, what I do during the day, I work on race cars. You know, what I drive in the weekends, I'm racing. You know, everything I do is involved around the sport, and I just put so much into it and, you know, try so hard at everything that I almost feel like there's no other way or nothing else I would feel right doing. You know, it's you work so hard, you work your entire life for something that you really just hope you can achieve it. And one day, you know, really live your dream.
I know you've done some racing on dirt as well as on asphalt. Which one do you prefer, and how do you be successful on both of them?
You know, I think victories and, you know, just wins and championships that will get you successful in anything. You know, champion football, baseball, basketball, you know, racing, anything. That's what people look for, you know. And I think dirt teaches you a bunch. I think, you know, it's really, really great with car control. I think it also teaches you a lot on, you know, how to manage your stuff and you know, and really just be right with it. Your reflex has got to be right on the spot. You can't, you know, can't mess around. You can't make any bad decisions. You really just got to go. And, you know, and asphalt really teaches you more of the finesse, you know, the momentum and, you know, to keep your momentum, how to save your stuff, you know, how to race 150 lap races, 200 lap races, you know, stuff like that's what you really, really learn from on asphalt, which helps you, you know, once you get into trucks and nationwide and cup, because, you know, those are all endurance races and a lot longer where, you know, in a sprint or a sprint car race or a dirt race or a dirt late model race can most of the time be 35 to 50 laps, you know? So it's a little bit different than two, but I think the combination of both is something that all drivers should have. I definitely benefited from, you know, tinkering on dirt a little bit and learning how to drive a dirt car. I really enjoyed it, you know, and hopefully it's something else I get to try more in my future. I would love to get back out on dirt and try some more of it.
What's your favorite track to compete on?
I would really have to say Newsom Arena Speedway. You know, in 2013, the World Series Stock Car Nationals, it was my first time ever going down there in the late model. And we became victorious on our second night. And, you know, we're a really strong front runner the whole entire week and really surprised myself, you know. And then I followed up the next year and, ran really well. It was my first time in a super late model. And then, you know, this past year I raced with LFR down there. And we had a great season. You know, it was unfortunate we couldn't finish off the championship at the end, and the wreck took it out from us. But, you know, just the racing down there, it's two-lane racing. It's fast. You know, the fans are great. You know, there's a lot of kickback and feedback from, you know, Daytona during that week, the speed weeks. And I just think what racer wouldn't want to be at a racetrack for 9 days in a row? So, you know, being at New Smyrna Speedway for that, and, you know, the Governor's Cup and a lot of great shows they have down there, the modified race and everything that they just pretty much venue, is awesome. So that's definitely where my heart is.
I know Clint Boyer competed a couple of races at New Smyrna Speedway in the beginning of the season. Did you have a chance to talk to him at all? And what's your opinion of him getting into the chase for the championship this year?
No, I actually didn't get a chance to talk to him. But, you know, I've definitely seen that he ran there. And, you know, it's great to see, you know, Cup guys get back into some of the stuff that we run, you know, because it shows the love of the sport. It shows how much they really care about it and really just how they're out there to have fun, you know. And the short track racing definitely offers probably something a little bit different for those guys. You know, they don't have to go out there. They don't have so much in the line. You know, they can just really go out there and have some fun. And, you know, it's great to go out there and be a part of it and even race against them sometimes because, you know, you might get beat by them. You might finish second to them, but you're learning a bunch from them while you're doing it, and that's really key. And, you know, I think it's great he made it in the chase. You know, I hope Michael Waltrip Racing has a really strong season to finish out their whole entire, you know, year with everything that they have going on. So I think it's great to see that they're able to really put something together and finish off this year strong.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the program this evening and wish you lots of luck with LFR and beyond.
Definitely. I appreciate you guys for having me on.
Thank you very much.
All right, have a great night.
You too. Once again, that was Joey Mukakaro, as he called himself, Mooch, who's going to be competing for LFR. He's competed for them this year. He'll be competing for them a little bit more next year, and we look forward to following his career and seeing how everything goes. Should be pretty cool. As we all know, the chase for the Cup is underway, and the season culminates in November at Ford Championship Weekend in Homestead, Miami, at the Homestead Miami Speedway in Homestead, Florida. Recently, I found out that I would have been granted full media access to the event and be covering the goings-on in all three series at the end of the 2015 season, similar to what I did this summer at the Daytona National Speedway for the Firecracker 250, and not quite as much for the July 5th race, but that's how it goes. This past weekend, Joey Logano did 227 of 334 laps on his way to Victory Lane in Sunday's Bank of America 500 at the Charlotte Motor Speedway, which we seem to be talking a lot about this evening, to become the first driver to advance to the eliminator 8th round of the chase for the Sprint Cup. The number 22 Ford driver becomes a member of the eliminator 8 by winning the contender round opener for the second straight season. Last year, he won the first contender round race at Kansas Speedway, the site of Sunday's Hollywood Casino 400. In his past 12 starts at Kansas, Logano owns one win, four top fives, and four top tens. He has logged a top five showing his last four starts at the mile-and-a-half track. Logano's checkered flag was his first at Charlotte. His previous best, Queen City finish, was third in 2011. On the season, Logano ranks tied with Kevin Harvick for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series lead in top tens with 24. His five Coors Light pole awards are the most in the series. After placing second on Sunday at Charlotte, Kevin Harvick becomes the 13th driver in NASCAR's modern era to collect 20 top five finishes in a season. The other drivers to achieve the feat include Bobby Allison, Richard Petty, Cale Yarborough, Benny Parsons, Darrell Waltrip, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jeff Gordon, Terry Labonte, Dale Jarrett, Bobby Labonte, and Jimmy Johnson. If Harvick can finish within the top five in the final six races, he will tie Jeff Gordon's record for most top fives in a modern era season of 26 in 1998. Harvard-Charlotte result also earned him its 11th runner-up of the season, the most since Bobby Allison logged 12 in 1972. The number 4 Chevrolet driver boasts top 14 top 2 finishes this season, doubled the total of the next highest driver. Kyle Busch and Jimmy Johnson tied at 7. Harvick heads to Kansas, ranked 2nd in the chase grid, with 13 points above the cutoff line. In 19 career starts at Kansas, he boasts 1 win in the fall of 2013, 4 top 5s, 6 top 10s, and the track's 2nd best average finish of 9.4. I don't quite understand how you can come up with a 0.4 finish in average finishes, but I suppose that works. The last driver to lead 2,000 laps or more in consecutive seasons was Jeff Gordon in 1995 and 1996. Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Matt Kenseth have to be thankful for the simple formula that embodies the new chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup format, the win and you're in idea. Earnhardt, 11th on the chase grid, since 19 points behind Brad Keselowski on the cutoff line. Kenseth, 12th on the chase grid, is 32 points below the cutoff line. Both drivers essentially need wins in the next two races, Kansas and Talladega, to advance from the contender round to the Eliminator 8 round. And both drivers get to race at tracks where they've performed well historically. In 19 starts at Kansas, Kansas had 2 wins, 6 top 5s, and 11 top 10s. His driver ranking is the 2nd highest total in NASCAR. Earnhardt has solid stats at Kansas, with 9 top 10 finishes in 18 starts, but gets to close out the contender round at Talladega, where he owns 6 wins, tied with Jeff Gordon for the 2nd most victories in track history. Kenseth, unfortunately, hasn't been very strong at Talladega. In 31 starts at the Super Speedway, he claims only 1 win, 6 top 5s, and 10 top 10s. If the contender round ended after Charlotte, Ryan Newman and Kyle Busch would be among the 4 drivers eliminated from the chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup. Luckily for them, there are 2 races left. Newman and Busch are also close enough to the cutoff in points where they do not need wins to advance. The 2 drivers get their chance to close the points gaps in Sunday's Hollywood Casino 400 at the Kansas Speedway. Historically, one of his worst tracks, Busch's only top 5 finish in 15 starts at Kansas was a 3rd place showing in the chase last fall. His average finish at the 1.5-mile track is 21.4. With Talladega looming, Busch could be in trouble. Newman owns 1 win in the fall of 2003, 3 top 5s, and 6 top 10s in his 19 starts at the Kansas Speedway. He has logged a top 10 finish there in his last 2 races, and has an average finish of 17.6 in the Jayhawk State. We all know, however, that no driver is as good at Kansas as Jeff Gordon, who boasts a record 3 wins there. In his 19 starts at the Midwestern track, the number 24 Chevrolet pilot also has 11 top 5s and 13 top 10s. Gordon currently ranks 7th on the chase grid, following his 8th place finish at Charlotte over the weekend, just 8 points ahead of the cutoff line. He is still searching for his first win of the year, with just 6 races left in his final full-time season. Just because a driver is not in the chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup doesn't mean he or she can't win in one of the final 6 races. There are plenty of drivers attempting to play spoiler in Sunday's Hollywood Casino 400. Jimmy Johnson being the most likely to pull off the victory. The number 48 driver has won this spring race at Kansas for a 2nd career victory at the 1.5-mile track and has failed to finish in the top 10 there a mere 3 times in his 18 starts. Even though there are plenty of drivers who hope to play the spoiler, the focus remains on top of the field. With 6 races left, the question is, who's going to be champion this year? As we go into it right now, my guess would be Kurt Busch, simply because Kurt Busch has had a really good record at the last several tracks in the season. and he's had done very well at Homestead. And it'd be cool to see Kurt Busch win. I think that he really deserves it. It'd be a good victory, be a back-to-back championships for Stuart Haas Racing, and be a good way to sort of end, or nearly end, Tony Stewart's reign as the head of Stuart Haas. Moving on to Xfinity Series news, Roush Fenway Racing's Chris Buescher is currently in lead in the NASCAR Xfinity Series standings by 26 points over second place Chase Elliott, with just four races remaining in the season. Buescher does not control his own destiny, however, but it's tough. If he finishes second in each of the next four races, he'll clinch no matter what any other driver does. Buescher got to this point in the season by being impressively consistent. In 29 starts, he has posted 2 wins, Iowa and Dover, 11 top 5s, and 19 top 10s. His average finish this season is an 8.1, the best among championship contenders. Buescher returns to Kansas Speedway this weekend to make his third career start at the 1.5-mile facility. In his previous 2 starts at Kansas, he has had mixed results. In his series debut at the track, he finished 16th, and last season he was caught in an accident and ended up finishing 28th, 51 laps down. This season, you can expect him to turn around at Kansas, because in 2015, he has the third best average finisher among the championship contenders on mile-and-a-half tracks, as stated earlier. This time last season, Chase Elliott had a 38-point lead over second place in the standings, with 3 wins under his belt, and the road to Titletown all but paved. This season, however, Elliott is voyaging into untraveled territory in his young NASCAR Xfinity Series career. He is second in points with just 1 win in Richmond, and has only 4 races left on the schedule to overcome a 26-point deficit to become the Series' 6th driver to post back-to-back titles. Elliott's sophomore season could be considered a slump compared to his stellar rookie year, but by no means has his performance in 2015 been subpar. In his 29 starts, he has 1 win, 11 top 5s, and a series-leading 23 top 10s. His opponent, Chris Buescher's chances at the title are not assured, especially with how well Elliott has run at the final 4 tracks on the schedule. Among the 2 drivers, Elliott has an average finish that is almost 6 spots better than Buescher's. Elliott made a series debut at Kansas last season, starting 12th and finishing 10th. Experience is often thought of as one of the most important attributes in a successful driver. This weekend, the NASCAR Xfinity Series rolls into Kansas with 5 former series winners, Kyle Busch, Matt Kenseth, Joey Logano, Kevin Harvick, and Jeff Green. Last season's winner, Kyle Busch, is tied with Joey Logano for the series' most wins at Kansas Speedway. Busch has made 10 starts at Kansas, posting 2 wins in 2007 and 2014, 6 top 5s, and 8 top 10s. His average finish is 9.2. Busch will be piloting the number 54 Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota this weekend. Matt Kenseth has 1 series victory in 2013 at Kansas. Kenseth will be directing the number 20 Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota this weekend. In 8 starts at Kansas, Kenseth has posted 1 win. Even though Joey Logano shares the lead with Kyle Busch for the most wins at Kansas with 2 wins, he has not won the 1.5-mile facility since 2010. Logano is the only driver in series history to win consecutive races in Kansas in the Xfinity Series in 2009 and 2010. He also is the only driver to win at Kansas from the pole in 2010. Logano will be the series car owner points leading number 22 Team Penske Ford this weekend. Kevin Harvick, reigning NASCAR Sprint Cup champion, returns to the series this weekend after not competing for more than 10 Xfinity races. Harvick will be in the number 88 Junior Motorsport Chevrolet. He has made 10 starts in the 10 series starts at Kansas, posting 1 win in 2006, 6 top 5s, 7 top 10s, and a pole position. Former Kansas winner Jeff Green will also be attempting to compete this weekend. Green will be driving the number 19 TriStar Motorsports Toyota for car owner Mark Smith. The 2000 Series champion, Jeff Green, has made 7 starts at Kansas, posting 1 win in 2001, an inaugural race, and 2 top 10s. Following his 7th top 5 finish at the season last weekend, Sunoco Rookie of the Year standings leader Daniel Suarez reflected on how close he and the number 19 Toyota team are to their first series win together. Suarez is currently 7th in the NASCAR Xfinity Series driver standings, 128 points behind series leader Chris Buescher. This season, Suarez has posted 3 Coors Light poles, 7 top 5s, 14 top 10s, and an average finish of 12.4. Suarez will be making series debut on 2 of the final 4 tracks on the schedule, Kansas Speedway this weekend and Homestead Miami Speedway at the end of the year. Though time is short, Suarez is not giving up on his first win by season end. Suarez also leads his Sunoco Rookie of the Year standings by 29 points over second place Darrell Wallace Jr. No one has yet been able to pull away in the NASCAR Camp World Truck Series points standings this season either. Eric Jones had the opportunity to put some distance between himself and second place Matt Crafton as a defending Las Vegas race winner, but failed to do so. Crafton finished 8th at the Las Vegas to cut Jones' lead to 4 points after Jones placed 9th. Of course, you can't count out Tyler Reddick either. He overcame an early race accident to finish 7th at Las Vegas and trails Jones by 16 points. It should be a pretty good weekend of racing there in Kansas. There's also an inter-race event coming up. And the Camper World Truck Series doesn't compete until next weekend. At the Fred's 250, Saturday, October 24th at 1 p.m. on Fox in Talladega. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. I also invite you to read all the articles covering aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again on October 22nd in the Thunderdome, when we once again discuss the hard-hitting world of motorsports. Thank you, and have a nice evening.